Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, just after 10 a.m. here on a Saturday, May 30th. And we've been talking about the Commanders OTAs. And as we've been talking through this, I kind of feel like Dan Quinn has his secret sauce, and I've just identified it. It is creating new energy. Dan Quinn came into this building 2024, and oh man, we talked about the new energy that he brought in, and everybody had a second chance opportunity, and they were going to make the most of it. In 2024, the most incredible season of my lifetime, 12 wins and a conference championship, and then last year sucked. But from what I've seen at OTAs being reported, is it feels like Dan Quinn's done it again. He's created new energy with new coordinators. Adam Peters added new pieces to both sides of the ball. And it just felt like the vibes are right again, that there is a lot of positive energy once again in the building. And I loved this quote. Scott Abraham did an interview with Jalen Lane. He was asked about the new offense, right? New energy, new offense. Some of these guys are probably excited about learning a new offense, knowing that Cliff Kingsbury's offense didn't really suit them, right? And so Jalen Lane was asked about David Bell's offense and how quickly Jaden Daniels is adjusting. He said, quote, "I feel like he's one of the founders of this offense," speaking of Jaden Daniels, "as well just how easy he's gotten going with it." That's exactly what I wanted to hear from a wide receiver talk about Jaden understanding this new offense here. And that's what I'm excited about, really, is new offense, new defense coordinator, new players that I think are going to be really impactful. I just told you who I think are going to be the most important new players, Adafe Owe and Chega Okonkwo. Two guys that came in to fill roles that were so important. Really, we were so desperate to get an edge rusher that could lead us in sacks. And we were desperate to get a tight end that could create some explosive plays. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Mitch in Caroline County. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Wad, good to talk to you, man. Long-time listener and all the way back to when you started with the Junkies.
Appreciate I'd love to hear that, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, hey, I'll be quick. I think the key to the offense this year is still Terry. You know, I think because we couldn't get that deal done last year before training camp, it really train-wrecked our offense. I don't really think the win-loss record last year is indicative of how better the team was than the record. If Terry is healthy and he gives us 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, it opens up everything underneath for those new running backs, that new tight end. It keeps Jaden able to get out of the pocket and pick up first downs. And our wide receiver room is not as talented as I think any of us would want it to be, so we really need Terry to have a Terry year.
Yeah.
But thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, you're so right. I mean, last year proved how important Terry is to this team. The year before proved how important Terry is to this team. When he was out there, it was 12 wins. When he wasn't out there, it was 12 losses. And as we talked about, the vibes were off last year at this time and throughout training camp because of Terry's contract. And hopefully, you know, that's not a distraction anymore now moving forward. And I think you're right. I mean, if Terry's 10 touchdowns, if Terry's 1,000 yards, that's certainly going to open things up for Chig, other wide receivers as well. Let's go to Vic in Akakik. Vic, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Boogie, what's up now?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. So, I know we're talking about, I heard you talking about what players you felt would show the most promise or really develop and be the biggest standouts for this year with the new coaching, with the new coordinators. And my response to that was, initially, having been a coach for some time, when teams are not that good or they're not that good the year before, when you get the right coaches that set an expectation that increase a player's confidence from repetition of skill building, repetition of IQ, activity to their position and to that side of the ball, there's no telling who's going to pop off the page. There's no telling who's going to start to dominate. There's no telling who's going to start to have splash plays, ooh plays, really push the pedal on offense and really become spectacular. Because now people are in position where they can use their skill set. They're in position where they can attack the offense or the defense in the most opportune areas and do it at a high volume rate. But I will say this. I'm looking forward to seeing how Newton and De'Ron Payne and Kinlaw perform. That is the key to our defense. Our ability to stop the run with four.
Yeah.
Our ability to rush the passer in the interior with four. When the interior part of the offensive line gets caved in, as we saw with our offensive line, that changes a quarterback's timing. It changes a quarterback's confidence. It makes receivers on the other team frustrated. It makes running backs not want to run the ball anymore. I played defense. I played offense. I know what I'm talking about. So that's what I'm looking to see with Devontae Jones, being our coordinator, being able to put our defense in the right position to play physical, to play fast, to keep moving up the field, to play with a better skill set and stopping the run and rushing the pass. And when I say skill set, being able to identify what blocks you're getting, whether it's a down block, it's a reach block, getting to the second level, all those things. If we're better there, then that's the start of it.
Well, let me ask you a question, right? Because I kind of like your answer here about, all right, who's going to be the most impactful? Well, everybody that Devontae Jones impacts. So who's going to be more impactful of the two new coordinators? Is it going to be Blau or Jones?
Honestly, I think we're going to look up, and this is going to be a foot race, an arms race of excellence. I do. Listening to David Blau and seeing what the receivers are saying concerning Jaden, and seeing how smooth the transition is beginning with him playing under center, what I say to that is, the idea that the offense would take longer, I don't have that thought anymore. Mm. And initially, what I'm not surprised at, because Jaden's work ethic and his willingness and desire to be excellent and his athleticism, I'm already, and his skill set too, with being able to read receivers open with his eyes, like he did to the Eagles in week 14 or 13, and in his rookie year, he tore them open with his eyes. That was not a high school, college offensive display. That was an NFL quarterback. I can put the ball where the receivers can get it and the defense can't. But then with Devontae Jones, his excitement about the athletes we've had, the acquiring of the talent we've gotten with Adam Peters doing his job, I really feel there's going to be, like I said, an arms race of excellence. And we're going to be able to look and see how our acquisitions and coaching combined have put us in a position to win games. And not just win games, but how we win games. Being able to smother teams defensively. Being able to take away, like I said, quarterback's confidence. Being able to make running backs run east and west and hit them in the mouth. Being able to stretch the defense, stretch the offense, and get behind the defenses and run the ball and hit home runs on running plays when our running backs are cutting back the grain of the defense. Setting up screen plays where our third down backs can stretch the field. That type of stuff is what you get when you get good coaches and they're putting people in position to use their skill set at the highest level. And that's what I feel we have right now.
Good call, Vic. Appreciate you chiming in. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I'll put this out there for the callers based off of what Vic was saying there. I'm excited for these two new coordinators. I think they both could be successful. There's a lot of hype for both of them. If Devontae Jones deals with a situation he's never dealt with before because he hasn't been a defense coordinator in the NFL, Dan Quinn's there to help him, right? If Devontae Jones is bad or he makes some bad decisions or he struggles at all this year, Dan Quinn's there to help him. Who's there if David Blau struggles or if David Blau deals with situations that he hasn't seen before? Who's there to help him? Is it just Blau's relying on Jaden to be Superman? Like, Devontae Jones has Dan Quinn to help him out. What does Blau have? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Mark tweets me, AWOD DQ had a great off-ball linebacker in Dallas, and he turned him into an edge. I hope they keep Sonny where he belongs. And we had another caller talking about Sonny's ability to get sacks. I mean, this team last year and 2 years ago was really good at their cross-dog blitzes with Luvu and Wagner together in the middle. Maybe that's Luvu and Stiles. Maybe it's Stiles and Leo Chenal. I'm very interested to see where Luvu ends up on this team. Does he lose a lot of snaps this year? I mean, the way he played last year, I wouldn't be surprised if he really did lose his spot a little bit. But I do think he's one of the most important players for this defensive coordinator to get back to the level that he was at. And so, Durante Jones, if he can get Frankie Luvu back into the 2024 Frankie Luvu, I'm all for it. If not, maybe you play him less for some of these other guys that can be better in coverage situations. He just looked so lost anytime he was asked to play like a zone. We were talking about, so when Durante Jones, if he deals with a situation he doesn't know or he hasn't dealt with before, he's got Dan Quinn to lean on. And Curtis tweets me, AWOD, David Blau does have Anthony Lynn to lean on, a former head coach and OC, could be a voice in the room. I thought Anthony Lynn was gone for some reason. Didn't he, Strober, do you remember, didn't he interview for like the Browns job and a few other jobs? For some reason, I thought he had left. So that is a good guy to have in Blau's room to really help him in situations he might not have dealt with before, because Lynn's a respected coach in the NFL. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. So, Jaden Daniels needs to get himself back into the top 10 of quarterbacks this season. I think that's going to be a big part of this team having success. So, what does that look like? How does Jaden Daniels get himself back into the top 10? I mean, the obvious thing is, number one, it's all about his games played. Right, I mean, that's good. When anybody brings up his stats, you're going to see 17 games played to 7 games played. That's going to be the number one thing that sticks out. So he's got to stay healthy. And then number two, it's got to be that completion percentage. All of the NFL insiders talked about that last season. There was a lot of talk about how he didn't look right. He was off. He didn't look like he had his confidence in his ability or in his body, because of the injuries that were piling up last season as he was in and out of the lineup. I think that's the biggest reason for the completion percentage dropping off. That plus less Terry, which means throwing it to guys that aren't as good as Terry. All right, but that's going to be the big thing I think people will be looking at to see how Jaden Daniel played this year. Did he get back to his 2020 form? Is he playing 17 games and getting back to close to 69 to 70%? Completion percentage. The yards hopefully will be there. And then you'll be looking at the rushing stats, right? I mean, that was the biggest reason why rookie of the year, and there was the MVP talk, because he was close to 1,000 yards rushing with 891 and 6 touchdowns. And of course, last year, it wasn't just the yards were less because the games were less, but also the average was less. He didn't have a big long run of 46 yards like he had the year before. That was the big thing. And he lost a fumble. Somehow in 2024, after all the rushing for 891 yards, 3 fumbles, he didn't lose any. Like, Beatus grabbed one last year, or 2 years ago. Ertz grabbed one. Like, last year, it wasn't just games played where Jaden Daniels took a slight step back. So this year forward, it's not just going to be, well, he has to stay healthy. Stay healthy. He has to get that completion percentage up. And he's going to have to do better with running the football and protecting himself. I don't think we're going to see Jaden Daniels just become a pocket passer. He is a weapon with his legs. And I'm excited for how this offense will help him maybe be able to get some rushing yards on scramble situations without taking hits. I think of the smartest offensive coordinators, when they are able to run, they hit you with a play action where it's a hard play fake. A hard play fake, and you freeze the defense, right? And you think about how last year so many good teams would get you with hard play fakes, and their quarterbacks would have all day against Washington, right? But that wasn't the case last year. And so that's what I'm hoping is David Blau's offense. They're able to really run the ball successfully on first down and do some hard play action where he will have time in the pocket because you're freezing a linebacker, you're freezing an edge rusher, and maybe on some of these bootlegs or naked bootlegs, it'll be such a good fake because people are scared of our rushing attack that he will be able to go around the corner untouched for 5 or 6 yards and get out of bounds and fully protect himself. Jalen Hurts does that so well. Obviously, they have Saquon, so when you fake it to Saquon, sometimes you end up wide open. But I feel like every other game, Jalen Hurts has like a bootleg where he runs for 5 or 6 yards, gets out of bounds untouched, picks up the first down, moves the chains, gets back to work, right? That's what I'm hoping for with Jaden Daniels, is some of these running plays that are not designed runs in which he just scrambles and gets the yards, gets out of bounds, and doesn't take a hit. Doesn't take a hit. He's got to protect himself this season. But I do believe he will get himself back into the top 10 if he can stay healthy, because I think he's got all of the abilities, the traits that you need. I'm excited to see him link up with a tight end that might be the most explosive tight end he's had since he got into the National Football League. You could talk about the wide receiver room all you want. Jaden made everybody better in 2024. And it's a lot of the similar guys to 2024. He made Diami Brown a star who got paid. Well, now Diami Brown's back. And I think Antonio Williams can do some of those things that Olamide Zaccheaus did or Noah Brown did in 2024. So I'm very excited. I'm very optimistic about this Commanders team. I know the schedule is tough. That's why I'm going to continue to say 1-1, 3-3, 5-5, and then get so hot that the entire country is talking about Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I mentioned it earlier today, my new favorite basketball player, AJ DeBonsa, went on my favorite basketball podcast, All the Smoke, and he talked about he wants all the smoke from all those rookies. He's ready to take on all competitors. I'm so fired up for AJ DeBonsa to come to Washington, D.C. And I'm not the only one. Here's the thing that got me so fired up. I have multiple friends who don't watch basketball. They are diehard Commanders fans. We talk Skins all the time. They just don't watch basketball. They've been blowing me up the last 2 weeks asking me about the Wizards, trying to get nuggets about the Wizards. I got fans who don't watch basketball asking about the Wizards. It is an awesome time to be a Wizards fan. We'll talk about the excitement for the Washington Wizards and the upcoming NBA draft on the other side of this commercial break. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
They told me that frost, rainbow face. They hope I fall off, ain't no way. I might be alright, but it ain't okay. I left, went right, I went left and stayed left. And ain't nothing the same, they run their lips. I put my prep in and step in my foot in the pedal of rain. Spin it like I'm ahead of the game. You said
welcome back.
Jump, it better be flame. Let my mate go top, she gon' suck till I'm drained.
What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond. 9:10 a.m. 105.1 FM. We are always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. And I told you guys, I'm so fired up for the Washington Wizards, and I know the Wizards are getting headlines. They're getting, you know, trending on Twitter. Everybody around the country is talking about us. Last week, we had Giannis and LeBron rumors. And so I told you, I literally have friends who are diehard Commanders fans that just don't watch basketball asking me about the Wizards. So wanted to tell you guys a little bit about my excitement for the Washington Wizards. And I've been a basketball fan my entire life. The Wizards have been my number one team. And I have so many great memories. As a kid, my dad took me to see Michael Jordan. And then throughout the entire Gilbert era, I went to game after game after game every year. On my birthday, I'd ask my dad for a three-game ticket pack or something like that. Then we had the John Wall era and Bradley Beal. And then it got to a point where I stopped watching games. It was crazy. I hated the team so much after loving them so much that I stopped wanting to watch games. And I told Chris Russell, it was like putting down your old pet. I hated it. I didn't want to watch the Wizards play basketball anymore because they were awful. They were so bad, and I was tired of the mediocrity of Bradley Beal and then, oh, Russell Westbrook for a year, and then, oh, my goodness, let's give Bradley Beal a no-trade clause, Ernie Grunfeld, and then Tommy Shepard destroyed me and my fandom for the Washington Wizards. But then Ted Leonsis had that moment of clarity, right? And he hires Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. And I do not think they are getting enough credit nationally or locally for what they've done to turn a roster full of pennies into a dollar. And I think they can make big strides this season. And now you add the number one overall pick after the Mother's Day miracle. And I think AJ is going to come in here and be such a superstar to the level that Wizards fans have just not seen before. Never seen before. Bullets fans have seen before. Bullets fans have seen a championship. Wizards fans have never seen the talent that A.J. DeBonce is going to bring. Ben Strober's the producer for AWOD Radio. Strober's doing his own Wiz talk show as well. And you tell me, Ben, who are the greatest Wizards? John Wall, Gilbert Arenas, Brad Beal, Jameson, Caron Butler? Dude, A.J. has a chance to be greater than all of those guys.
Right. Are we excluding Bullets from this list?
We're excluding Bullets from this list because okay. I think if you're saying greatest Wizard, like you have to put, my friend, you have to put guys that didn't even play for the Wizards on the list but just got traded to us. So like Anthony Davis and Chris Paul, right?
Chris Paul never even played a game. I guess AD hasn't yet either. So,
right.
But he'll play for us next year. I don't really think there's any chance they move him before the season actually starts because he has no value right now, but everybody just says whatever they want at this point in the NBA offseason. But he is probably one of the most accomplished players to ever play for the Wizards outside of Jordan. Of course, I think he technically played for the Wizards for a few years.
Yeah, but that, like, as much as I loved that Michael Jordan and I went to see him, he was not the Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, he was great. 20 points per game, Michael Jordan. 22 points per game, Michael Jordan. AJ could do that his rookie year. I legit think he could come in and be one of our leading scorers next year. I'm super, super impressed by everything that he said, and that's why we wanted to play some audio from AJ DeBonce on All the Smoke. I mean, look, this is a very talented young kid who I think if you understand his story, you will really fall in love with him like I have. Here's AJ talking about, you know, where his mindset comes from in basketball.
Yeah, really my eighth grade coach, for real, Joe Saunders. When I used to play basketball when I was younger, I didn't really want to play for real. I was playing for fun. Didn't really care about wins and losses. Got into eighth grade. COVID happened. That's my COVID year, like seventh, eighth grade year. So I reclassed. He was just on my ass like, bro, like, you don't want it enough. And I'm just like, bro, like, it's basketball. And got to the point where, like, COVID came, gyms are shut down. I'm driving 1 hour and 30. My dad's driving me. I'm not driving yet. My dad's driving me 1 hour and 30 every day to Middleton, Rhode Island, because I'm from Brockton, so it's like 1 hour and 30. I'm getting my ass busted by 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds. I'm like 13, 14. He's like, bro, you don't want enough, bro. You don't really want to be great. And at that time, I'm like, I mean, I don't want to work a job. I don't got the patience for that.
Yeah.
my mom talk about, my mom's only goal for me, like, she loves that I'm declaring for the NBA, but my mom's only goal is to go to school for free. So I'm like, all right, I'll take it serious. And then by that time, like, I started with the passion. I started screaming, yelling, flexing, and I kind of carried through.
So I love that story so much from AJ. Number one, we all had our different experiences during COVID. It changed the world and the sports world. And at 13 years old, AJ DeBonce during COVID had his father driving him 1.5 hours to go play 18 and 19-year-olds, right? And that's when it clicked, when talking to his coach, like he said, that you don't want this, you don't want to be a legend. And at 13 years old, he started getting his butt whooped by these kids that were 18, 19, and something clicked. And that summer, worked his ass off and improved. And then next year, goes into ninth grade at 14, and he's named the next best thing, the best 14-year-old in the country. Then he's the best 15-year-old in the country. Then he's the best 16-year-old in the country. Then he reclasses, and he's the best high school senior in the country. And then He goes to BYU. He was the best college basketball player in the country this year. I'm not having arguments about Darren Peterson. That's a waste of time. I'm talking about how legit this guy can be right away. He was asked if he's still in kill mode. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. A little bit of both. Yeah. Like, I'm still in kill mode, trying to dominate these workouts. But, like, I want the day to come. Like, it's like 30-some days away.
Yeah.
And you've been dreaming for this moment, so I know my hard work's about to pay off. But, I'm just waiting.
Wants to kill these workouts and everything we've heard. It's unbelievable. This guy at his combine jumped as high as Derrick Rose, sprinted as fast as John Wall. There's really nothing he can't do on the court right now. He can do everything. And he knows he needs to improve on some things. And that was the self-awareness from A.J. Devonta, especially in this interview with two former NBA guys and Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, was like, he talked about he knows he needs to improve on catch and shoot threes, because especially with Trae Young and probably with Anthony Davis down low, there's going to be times when they get sent a double team and he's going to be wide open for a catch and shoot three. And he's so self-aware, he knows in the NBA, to make it in this league, you need to be able to be money, catch and shoot, open three. So that's number one. Number two, making the right pass at the right time and on time he needs to work on. And number three, off-ball defense. Like, off-ball defense, to me, he's going to improve right away on that if he just has a different mindset, right? In college, it's different than in the NBA. You have to want to go out and play, help defense, and make a play at the rim. You have to want to be on a highlight. You have to be fine with getting postered to make a big defensive play. You have to be okay with that. But this is a guy that has been working throughout his entire life, as you heard there, basically since he was 13 years old, to achieve this goal of getting to the NBA and not just stopping there, but being one of the greats of all time. And when you listen to his workout regimen, when you listen to his daily routine, you understand the grind. His dad talked about, this is a kid that gave up birthdays. This is a kid that gave up girlfriends. This is a kid that gave up friends for this goal. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Jaden Daniels and his all-sports mindset. Here's A.J. Devonta on his workout regimen.
My on-court starts at 9, but I be there at 8:30 with the Red Bull team. Get my little stretching in, on-court workout when the other guys are working out. I start on the court at 9. It's probably like 9 to 10:30. I go to the Red Bull Athlete Performance Center where I lift at. So I get a smoothie in, maybe eat some lunch. Then I lift from like 12:30 to like 1:30, mm-hmm. and I'm back in the lab.
Yeah.
And then massage on some days, media on some days. Mm-hmm. And then I'm back to sleep, and I do it like 6 days a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it, man. This guy's so committed. He wants to be a legend, a great in the association. From Boston, Massachusetts, where's Will Dawkins from, right? He's not going to let one of the next greats from that area, from his area, go to another franchise, go to another team. AJ talked about his friendship with Cooper Flagg. I think he's on Cooper Flagg's level. And look how impactful he was as a rookie for the Dallas Mavericks. This is a guy that has star potential, and this is a Wizards front office here that had the foresight. They knew this, right? That's why they've been taken for 3 years. They had last year's draft class and this year's draft class circled as the draft classes to get your future, right? And we missed last year by not getting number one. There's no doubt about that. I like Trey Johnson, but he's not Cooper Flagg. But when we hit this year, oh my goodness, I could not stop screaming. I could not stop smiling. I've been waiting my entire life for the Wizards to be good again, to get to the conference finals, right? We haven't seen that. Haven't seen a championship since 78. It's finally a good time to be a Wizards fan. And this front office, it's not just AJ, right? And it's not just Trae Young. It's not just Anthony Davis. It's the hard work they've put in since they got the job, drafting Bilal Coulibaly, Bob Carrington, Will Riley, Keyshawn George. The list goes on of young, talented Washington Wizards players to get behind and root for and watch this season. We can go 10 deep with no bums. Feel like I haven't been able to say that in almost 10 years. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. The NBA draft is a little over 3 weeks away, June 23rd. The Washington Wizards will be on the clock with the number one overall pick, and I've been a diehard Wizards fan my entire life. Used to love going to games, watching every single game. Then I turned into a guy that was just box score breakdown. But this front office has me really excited. I enjoyed getting back into watching games in the last 2 years as we saw some of these young pieces get an opportunity. The most ethical tank of all time. So good, the NBA can't punish us and never will be able to. They can change all the rules. It doesn't matter. We're done tanking. We're not going back to that lifestyle. We're not doing that again, Adam Silver. So you can talk all about the Jazz and the Kings. The Wizards did the ethical tank. We traded for two players that didn't play and played all our guys that were under 24. And with that, 65 losses. And the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, the Washington Wizards, in my life, have had three number one overall picks. Three chances to draft a franchise-changing piece. Kwame Brown. I'll never forget that disaster. I'll never forget that disaster. I hated him day one. I looked at him and thought he was a bum right away. I actually can't even believe his career lasted as long as it did. And he's been able to, I guess he's doing a podcast or something. Feels like every once in a while, Kwame Brown's still in the news. What a loser. I hated him so much. John Wall, absolute the opposite, right? Every hate I had for Kwame Brown, I had all that love for John Wall. Absolutely love John Wall, the person, the player, the analysis, the representative at the NBA draft lottery. I love John Wall, right? But he probably never reached number one overall pick potential. I mean, I think when you're talking about number one overall pick, you want him to lead your team to a conference championship or, you know, be a franchise leader for 10 straight years. And this is not about John Wall, but this is about A.J. DeBonsta. In my mind, has higher upside than both of those guys. He's a better prospect than both of those guys. He might be the most exciting prospect, the most exciting young talent that Washington has ever seen for basketball. I'm really struggling. We had Michael Jordan at the end of his career. I'm not going to talk anything bad about Michael. It was the end of his career. We had Gilbert Arenas in his prime. All right, I loved Gilbert. I don't think he's going to be on AJ's level. And we just talked about John Wall. I don't think I'm missing somebody. Ben, do you believe this is going to be the most exciting young basketball player DC fans might have seen since they changed the name in 1997?
Outside of Wall, it seems like it. Just because when the Wizards got the first overall pick in 2010, everybody knew the pick was Wall. I think most people believe it's AJ. There's a little bit of a conversation that you can have. I know you're not willing to have that conversation right now, but I think a lot of people think it's closer than a lot of people imagine right now. But either way, you're getting a superstar-level talent here and at a position of need where superstars are built around in this league, playing off the wing, so absolutely.
Yeah. As you mentioned it, let's take a listen to AJ on All the Smoke when asked about how important it is to be number one, to be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Very important. I've been number one since my first rankings came out.
Like, it'll change it now, huh?
You know, like ESPN ranked me at number one at ninth grade. I was like 14. I ain't dropped, so I don't plan on dropping in the draft.
Right.
I love that answer from AJ so much. I'm obsessed with this kid. I really am. I'm okay with being the leader, all right? I told Drab, I'm going to be like what Brian Windhorst was when LeBron entered the league. You're going to hear me talking about AJ, tweeting about AJ, trying to interview AJ, breaking out AJ film for the entirety of the next 10 years. I am obsessed with this kid. I think he is the ultimate talent to come to D.C. and change our fortunes of this franchise forever. Forever. Super excited about this kid. Let's take a listen. Ben, skip down to the next clip here. AJ on his mindset as a scorer. Some people need to understand this guy is going to attack, get to his spots, and he's going to bang on people. He's going to be a highlight reel his entire rookie year.
Yeah, what's really crazy is I really would have averaged 30, but in the beginning of the season, and this is kind of like what a lot of NBA players told me, like, I know you need a team to win. So, like, in the beginning of the season, I was kind of, you know, being, I think, too passive, passing the ball, trying to get everybody involved, and I kind of dropped my average. But as a scorer, like, what am I looking at? I've learned that, you know, not to look at the initial defender. I'm looking at help side, but college, you got dudes sitting in the paint, triple teams, tilts, a whole bunch of everything. So I kind of relied on my mid-post game a lot, just because you can't really double out that situation if you do, it's 3 points.
Look, there's a there's a chance that it's going to be easier for him to score in the NBA than it was in college, especially after Richie Saunders got hurt on BYU and it was a bunch of absolute nobodies plus AJ, and you could double and triple team him, and he still got bucket after bucket. He played Texas in the NCAA tournament, and Texas's coach said, yeah, we can't stop him. We can't stop him. We know that. We can't stop him. Cooper Flagg went into Dallas and immediately became their leading scorer, 21 points per game. I don't see why AJ couldn't do that this year. Washington's leading scorer was CJ McCollum at 18.8. He's gone. Behind that was Alex Saar. I don't know what we're going to get from Trae Young. I'm more excited about Trae Young getting 9 or 10 assists than him averaging 25 points per game. I want him to pass the rock and let other guys take the shots. We are getting a talent here that we just have not seen before, and it's why I am super excited about this kid. There's so much to like about him. He's so mature. I really think he's going to just improve so much throughout his entire rookie season. He's going to be a different player at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year, and he's still going to be exciting at the beginning of the year. This is just a dog coming to Washington here. Ben, we have not had anybody like this. We have not had anybody like this at a position. And so here's the other part that I'm getting super excited about with AJ is, like, his floor, people are saying, is Tracy McGrady. Like, that's one of my favorite basketball players of all time. I had the T-Mac shoes, the T-Mac 3s. I'd still argue it's probably the greatest basketball shoe of all time. That thing stuck to your foot like a sock. And Tracy McGrady, throughout his entire career, like, one of the best scorers in basketball. And, like, you could talk about the playoff failures from T-Mac all you want. If we get a T-Mac and AJ, oh my goodness, DC fans are going to love this dude for a lifetime. Tracy McGrady is his floor, people are saying. I mean, so, like, that's what I'm super excited about with AJ is, like, I think he could do everything. He needs to improve defensively. He needs to improve the three-point shot. But, like, the way Tracy McGrady scored the basketball, that's what I'm looking forward to most about AJ. He could score the rock like it's easy. He is a walking bucket, and hopefully he'll be coming to the nation's capital. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Elijah in D.C. What's up, Elijah?
What's going on, AWOD? Thanks for taking my call, brother. D.C. sports is on a rise. That's what I was saying to the producer while I was waiting. I was like, man, I don't remember the last time collectively a lot of the arrows or most of the arrows for the sports were trending up or there was some stability. You know, the Caps, what they're coming off of, I wouldn't say they're trending down. We don't know what Ovechkin's going to do. So that arrow is, even the arrows that even if there's any uncertainty, those arrows are still some stability. I'm looking at the defenders, even though the quarterback got hurt, and that could be trending, you know, somewhat down from the injuries. But I think this is going to be a hub for sports. You're seeing, and it's happening. It's not just on the fields or on the courts. It's happening in you know, in the meeting rooms and the front office. There's a change of the guard. It seems like collectively. I felt like through the years, it's like, okay, well, this team is good, and then the rest of us, and it's always like this seesaw as it relates. And then you see other towns, just as sports towns, how they're able to kind of just like hold a certain floor. And I'm so excited for us. I'm a traveling musician, so always whenever I'm in a different town, I'm like, man, they come out to these games. They have ways to get there. They party. They enjoy their games and they roll. It's like, I was like, man. And I feel like DC is headed in that direction collectively when this stadium gets up. So we got to make sure we sit back and just be thankful for the moment. Don't be so emotional. Just be like, hey, man, it's a new stadium, uniforms, got a first-round pick. You said the cat flows like Tracy McGrady. Whoa, dude, the batting, the bats are coming alive and bats. I see there's a pathway. I feel like I didn't know if there was, like, really a pathway. So, like, okay, they said that we're going to come in, we're going to bring this technology, we want bats hitting, and they did it. So now you got my attention. So whatever happens next, it just seems like everybody across the board, you got Jaden. You got this, so I think there's picks that's going to be happening for the Capitals. I just think it's a good time. And certain teams and certain fan bases, they just enjoy being there. But for me, it's about the journey, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's about the journey.
Elijah, I got to cut you off because we got to run, man. We're up against the break. But I'm with you, man, and I love the call and the passion. Hopefully it is going to be a good few years here for D.C. sports fans. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Zora Stevenson is the sideline reporter on NBC covering the NBA. She's been doing interviews pregame, postgame, and during the game on the sidelines, interviewing Victor Wembanyama, SGA, the stars of the Western Conference Finals. It's a Game 7 tonight. She's going to make a few minutes for us on the other side of this commercial break.